Welcome to the Anything's Possible podcast, where incredible people share the raw, inspiring journeys they traveled to get to where they are now. So my hope is that their stories of struggle, breakthrough, and triumphs will inspire you guys, the listeners, to start pursuing your dreams today. And today I have the pleasure to interview Tanner Wall, who plays safety for BYU. And fun fact, Tanner and I both served in the same mission for our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The best mission by far, the Brazil Maceió mission. And we both speak fluent Portuguese. E aí, cara, como vai?
Cara, tudo bom, e você?
Estou beleza, cara. So what I was asking Tanner there in Portuguese was, how are you? And he responded that he's well. How are you doing today, though, man?
Dude, I'm doing great. I'm super excited to join you on the podcast today and looking forward to sharing my story and getting to know you better as well.
Well, I really appreciate you doing this, man. Like, and it'll be fun to get to know you as well. I actually did. I listened to you were on Chase Roberts' podcast, and so I had listened to that a few weeks ago when I had Chase on here, and so I'd listened to it to prepare for that. So that was just super cool. And then you shared on there that you had gone to Maceió, and it's like, ah, dude, that's so cool, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Small world, man.
I know, man. It's a best mission ever.
I loved it.
So, what I'd love for you to do first, I would love for you to share kind of the arc of your journey. You know,
Okay.
from when you first knew that you wanted to even play football. I don't even mean at the college level. I don't mean at the NFL level. I just mean you first of all had a spark. You had a desire to even play football, all the way to where you are now.
Right. Yeah, so growing up, I'll be honest, like my first love was definitely baseball. Like I grew up playing a ton of baseball from the time I was like 3, 4 years old. Played a lot of baseball. I watched a lot of football, right? My dad is just a massive BYU fan, huge BYU football fan. And so, grew up, every Saturday we were watching games, East Coast too. Like, sometimes we'd be staying up late to make sure we were catching the games, going into church tired on Sunday morning, but it was always worth it. So I always had this like love and respect for football. But I was always like very little. Like I was a late bloomer. I was super small. So in middle school, my parents, they let me start playing flag football. So I played flag with some of my buddies, and obviously it's very different from real football, but still like some of the skills apply, and it was still fun for someone like me who was pretty undersized to be feeling like I was playing football and having fun with my friends and teammates. And then finally, when I got to high school, so ninth grade, I convinced my parents to let me play. And funny enough, the coaches at my high school, both the freshman football coach and then the varsity coach, had both coached my dad at the same high school when he played there. So old school coaches, they've been there for a long time. They didn't call me by my first name, they called me by my last name, because if they called me by my first name, they'd mix it up with my dad. And so yeah, just but like first day of pads. Like I remember at the weigh-ins for freshman football that summer, going into ninth grade, I was 5'3", 99 pounds. So I was still tiny as a freshman in high school.
As a freshman, you were 5'3" and 99 pounds.
Yeah, the
You
roster
didn't
says five
even
four
make the
one
buck.
oh no. Well, on the roster they spotted me 6 pounds and an inch. So I was 5'4", 105. So I was grateful for that. But yeah, I was a little guy. So, yeah, and then just really from there, just started playing a little bit of DB, played like some tailback, some wide receiver, and then just like the ball started rolling, and I just like really loved football. At first, I was kind of like questioning myself, I'm like, do I like this more than baseball, basketball? Like, and then it became very clear that I did, and so.
How did you know that like you love football? Because I love what you said there. You're like, man, I really like baseball, but I am loving this new thing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, football and baseball are very different, like almost polar opposite sports, you know, as far as how they go. And like, you know, football is the ultimate team sport. You know, baseball is obviously a team sport too, but like, I feel like the moments in baseball are very individualized. And so, but I just felt like football is one of those things where I felt like I could have some sort of impact on every play, you know, whether I was playing receiver or I was playing defensive back. It's like, okay, I can, you know, even if it's a run play, I can block someone. Or if I'm playing DB, you know, even if it's a run play and I'm far from the ball, I can still come push the pile, you know, and feel like I'm contributing. Whereas in baseball, you know, you could play an entire game, you know, you'll get 3 at-bats, 4 at-bats. But, you know, say you're playing center field or wherever, like you could have one ball come to you all game, you know. It's like, so, but yeah, I loved the physicality of it too, and just being able to, you know, kind of be a hustle player at first, where you're not a guy who's just like incredibly big, strong, or fast, or it's like, you know, you got to find ways to overcome, those challenges as a young football player, and then kind of grow into your body and become more confident. But yeah, I just really, really loved football from the start, and it became clear, well, not clear, but it became more of a reality kind of my junior season, that like, you know, I think I could have a chance to play this at the next level. Ultimately came
How
out
long before
to,
Tanner, how long before you made, you know, even the starting 11 of whichever year you were at when you started?
so I played freshman, so on the East Coast, you know, high school 9 through 12, right? So we had a freshman football team, which was all the 8th and 9th graders, so 8th graders could play on the freshman team. My parents didn't let me play in 8th grade, so I started playing as a 9th grader. Then the next year, I played JV as a 10th grader. But so I would play in the JV games on Thursday nights, and then I would dress for the varsity games. And like, our star safety got hurt like week 3 of our season, my 10th grade year. So I ended up getting a little bit of playing time in some of the varsity games. So I'd play like the full JV game on Thursday night, and then play a little bit on Friday nights too. And then after that, you know, obviously I was playing varsity my 11th and 12th grade year. But yeah, I was definitely not one of those kids who was starting on varsity as a freshman, just like freak of nature, crazy athlete, you know. But so yeah.
How much work did you honestly put in off the field when you weren't in practice?
A ton, like
Can you give me like an
overcoming.
example of your day to day?
Yeah, for sure. So when I got to high school, so I decided to stop playing basketball. So I only focused on football and baseball, right? So fall sport, spring sport. So, but like it became, you know, kind of my focus to really just put a lot of my effort into football. And I knew that if I wanted to, like, you know, be an impact player, I needed to get a lot stronger and faster. So we had off-season training for football in the winter, and obviously in the summer, while I was also preparing for baseball. So like, there were times when, you know, I would go to winter training for baseball, and then, you know, right after that, go to the football lift. Or, you know, there were times during the baseball season where, you know, we'd have games on certain days, but like, I was at our 6 a.m. 7-on-7 practice. You know, my coach didn't love that at first, my baseball coach, but you know, to me it was worth it, you know, to get those reps and, you know, find any way to get better and build chemistry with my teammates that would ultimately help us in the season, right? So I feel like those are two good examples. But you know, for me, like, gaining weight was a chore. Like, constantly in a calorie overload, just eating as much food as possible, drinking the mass gainer protein shakes. And like, I hated it. Like, it was not fun. Like, I used to joke with my parents, like, this, like, drinking cement, like, it's like so gross. But I was a little guy, so I had to find a way to, get stronger and put weight on if I, wanted any real shot of making it.
I love how you just said that though. You're like, man, I hated this, but I had to find a way. It's like so many people, they want the end goal, they want whatever it is, but they don't realize sometimes there's some, really hard things that we have to do, and there's parts of those sometimes that we don't want to.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So that was definitely the part of my early football career that was most difficult, was just being patient with that process too, of just, slowly, gaining weight and getting stronger, tons of lifting, lots of agility work too, just trying to become quicker, more fluid and dynamic athlete, which requires a lot of reps, right? Lots of repetition. To some people, it comes supernaturally. To others, they have to work at it, much more. But, that's something that became very evident to me, is like, talent in youth sports kind of shines, but as you get older, talent, I feel like it starts to become less and less of a factor, and it's more of just like a production and discipline type thing, where it's like, eventually the kids who work the hardest and are the ones who really care the most and are trying to be the best, they're the ones who kind of rise to the top, because I'm sure all of us can think about athletes or people we grew up with playing on our youth sports teams who are just like, phenoms at like age 7, 8, 9. And they're like, oh, dude, this dude's gonna go to the NBA. And then it's like, it doesn't even end up playing basketball in college, because the talent starts to wear off. And it's like, if you don't have that work ethic, then it's not gonna ultimately get you to where you want to go.
So you would say, I mean, there's that old phrase of it's whether it's nature versus nurture. You would double down on the nurture side.
Yeah, for sure. I know, I definitely would. If you're willing to work harder than anyone around you, like, it's going to work out in one way or another for you with your goals and with your plans. So.
Well, so roughly how many hours a day were you putting in? In
I'd say
addition,
probably three.
to your regular practices.
In addition, probably like two to three.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not, you do 2 to 3 hours of work at anything a day, and it gets you places, huh?
It does, absolutely.
One of the things that, as we mentioned, we served in the same mission. One thing I honestly did not realize and did not know, and it just didn't make sense to me at the time, was how like you had to work hard to get what you wanted. No,
Yeah.
so before my mission, I couldn't play hardly any sport, and then after a while of being home, I could hold my own, not against people like you, but like hold my own against average players, right? And it
Yeah.
does. It just takes work, and I also like to say like it's never too late. I mean, yeah, it's definitely too late for most people. If you're, not college age anymore, it is too late to play college football, basketball, etc. But it's not too late to do tons of other cool stuff,
Right.
So you said your junior year was when you started thinking, okay, this might actually work. I might
Yeah.
be able to play in college. Take me from there.
Yeah, so that was kind of an interesting season for me, because so we had a quarterback who was a senior that year, and he wasn't a great player. In fact, like, through I think close to five games, we had like under 30 completions, like passing. Like, we just really struggled to pass the ball. So what we it was literally I think it was game five. It's either game five or game six. I think it was game five. We're on the road. We're down 14-0 at halftime. And my coach just comes to me and he's like, "Well, you're playing quarterback." And like I knew it because like I was the backup quarterback on freshman and JV, just because if anyone got hurt, it was like, okay, we'll just put him in there. And then all the coaches taught the same system that the varsity coach did, right? So there was a good progression. And so I was like, all right. So, and then, and we had lost, I think we were either 1-4 or 2-3. And then we ended up winning out the rest of that season. And it's like I had some good tape, right? I had some good film, at least demonstrating that I was like a competent and like competitive football player, right? It's like, okay, this guy, he can impact a game, or it's like when the ball's in his hands, he's doing good things. Like you can see he's impacting the game, his team's winning because of him, right? And so, but that actually was ended up being part of my difficulty in recruiting, and I was trying to get recruited to play wide receiver. And so coaches were like, "You have no tape playing wide receiver." 'Cause like, my junior season, that's like the big recruiting season. I had like five catches, five or six catches, through five games, 'cause quarterback struggled so bad. But it ended up working out. I came out to the BYU summer camp for the football camp in the summer. It's like a 3 or 4 day padded camp, and ended up being the MVP of the wide receivers for my camp week that I was there.
Dang.
So that was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And ultimately, so it was Coach Cahoon who was recruiting me. And unfortunately, kind of moving the clock forward a little bit, during my senior season, during that season was when, or I guess it was after that season that we've like cleaned house. Like our whole offensive staff got fired except for our tight ends coach, Coach Clark. So the wide receivers coach who was recruiting me was gone. I had virtually no relationship with any other coaches really on the staff. And, I had had a really, really good senior season. We had two great young quarterbacks who were able to give me the ball, and we had some good other good receivers too who they were able to throw to. And so like my senior season was a lot of fun. And after the season I was really hopeful. I was like, I started getting some offers from some other schools, but deep down I knew, I'm like, dude, I just want to play at BYU. Like even if I have the chance as a walk-on over scholarship opportunities to other places, I will go there because been my dream. I know I can, I know what I'm capable of, and I'll bet on myself to overcome those odds as a walk-on. And amazingly enough, it was kind of getting late into that. So I graduated high school in 2018. So my senior season of football was 2017. It was like Christmas time, and like National Signing Day was coming up, and I'm like, dude, I don't really know what I'm gonna do. Like, I still haven't really heard anything from BYU. And like, just seeking and expecting miracles. I think this is a great example of this. This random BYU fan who's from Payson or Salem reaches out to me, and he's like, "Hey, I remember you. I remember you're getting recruited. I remember that you were the MVP of the wide receivers at camp last summer. Like, have you gotten an offer from BYU yet?" And I was like, "No. Like, I haven't really heard anything. Wide receivers coach, got fired." And so he's like, "Okay, well, I know Coach Clark, who was the tight ends coach. He's like, I'm going to send him your film and just remind him that you were the MVP of the wide receivers and, see if he can do anything." So this random BYU fan on Twitter, ends up saving the day, because within a few days I get a call from Coach Clark, who's the only coach on our staff, and it's like, "Hey man, like I remember you from camp last summer. I remember you were the MVP of the wide receivers. We don't have a wide receivers coach on staff yet, But I want to offer you as a preferred walk-on, and then whoever we hire, I'll, introduce you to him and kind of explain that situation to him. And so I was like, man, I was so excited. Like that for real was some like big time divine intervention. And I'll always be super grateful to this fan for doing that,
Did you know them? Like, did they just follow you randomly on Twitter?
Yeah, so they followed me on Twitter, and like he had messaged me a little bit. So like we'd had some brief interaction, but I wouldn't say that we were like close, right? He was just like, hey, like he was always just super positive with me. Like he would watch my huddle film after my games, be like, and just like be super complimentary, like, hey, great game, like hoping it ends up working out for you coming to BYU. And so, but yeah, so that was pretty amazing.
Dude, that's so cool that you shared that, because I really wanted to know why you chose, to go to BYU. I mean, I went to BYU as well, but like, instead of taking another offer, because so many of the people are like, oh, I've got something on the table. And I think so many people do that in life, like just in general. They're like, oh, I just have to take this because it's here. This is what God's given me. I've got to take it. And it's like, I found the more selective you are, like the better stuff you get, And so that's such a cool story, man. Have you stayed in contact with that particular fan at all?
So yeah, he came to my wedding. Like he's a yeah. So him and I, we stay in touch. Yeah, he's an awesome guy.
That's really cool. So like once you got to BYU, like what happened?
So I guess I need to paint the picture even more just so we can kind of see like even more hurdles that there were to get over.
Absolutely, man. I love that.
So I ended up signing, right, as a preferred walk-on, right, which
What does that mean
is
in a
like a
nutshell?
so in a nutshell, that's a okay, we have a roster spot reserved for you, but you're not on scholarship. So at the end of the day, like that really is just kind of a on your honor, like on your word kind of agreement. Like obviously when you're a scholarship player, like the school is legally and financially obligated to honor that. Whereas when you're a preferred walk-on, it's like, well, if your coach decides to go back on that, like, then that's not gonna happen. So I left on my mission right after I graduated my senior year of high school. So I served 2018 to 2020. And I actually came back from my mission because of COVID. So I had just hit 21 months. So I had like two transfers left, and we found out we were coming home. And coming home, first of all, sucked. Like when you have like an end finish line and like a destination in mind, and it gets moved up, it's just like that was really frustrating. And obviously, I loved my mission. I loved the people of Brazil, and I was with a companion who I just absolutely loved too. And so like I was really bummed to have to cut that short. So coming home, we got home at the very end of March. I got home on my birthday actually, which was pretty wild. Quickly started, into contact with the coaches and trying to figure out, right? And obviously so much was up in the air. Like this was the Wild West where it was like every day it's like we're making a new decision and we're just kind of making it up as we go. And as some weeks went on, it became apparent that like the 2020 BYU roster was just a mess. Like, because the roster management was so tough with COVID because there were guys who had gone out on missions who were scholarship players who came back and then decided not to finish. And so the school obviously is obligated to honor that. And then there's those of us who are, preferred walk-ons who are home. And so it was like this whole mess. But ultimately what they had a group of about 20 of us do it. It was mostly return missionaries, some guys straight out of high school. They had us do what they call a gray shirt. So I don't know. That's not like a very well-known term. It's kind of a BYU thing that they'll do with return missionaries a lot of the time. They do is they have you, so you take less than 12 credits. So you're a part-time student. And if you're a part-time student, your NCAA eligibility clock doesn't start. So that fall of 2020, we would lift. We're not actually on the roster. We're not on the team. Like, we don't practice with the team. All we're able to do is come in and train. So we're able to just lift and kind of get our body back post-mission. You know, it's kind of a adjustment getting back into that. And so there's a group of about 15 to 20 of us that were doing that. And then we all ended up joining the roster in January of 2021. So our first official, like, you know, time with the team and workouts and all that was spring ball in 2021. And, you know, it'd been a long time since I played in a football game, you know, put pads on, put a helmet on, that stuff. And so, and like, you know, as a walk-on, like, the coaches are, they're like, you have to look for, or like, you have to prove to them that they should keep you, right? Because in their minds, they're looking for any reason to, you know, get rid of guys or clear guys out to bring other guys in, right? And so that first spring, right, just trying to shine any way I could, you know, making the most of my very limited opportunities, right? When you're a new guy and you're a walk-on, you know, you're not getting tons of reps, right? So when you do get reps, you got to show that you know the playbook, you know your assignment, and like you're able to, you know, make plays. And I've since talked to my former position coach, right? Coach Fessy, who was coaching the wide receivers. Obviously, I've switched to play defensive back now. But he told me, he was like, yeah, I was pretty close to cutting you. And so, like, hearing him say that, you know, obviously it's humbling. Very grateful that he didn't. You know, there were, I think the coaches, they saw just enough in me to say, okay, let's give him a shot, right? And so then, you know, from there, as it kind of went, I just kind of, that first season, I played in four games on special teams, right? As a freshman, true freshman, well, as a walk-on freshman. So I redshirted. Then the next season, again, you know, trying to climb up the depth chart in the wide receiver room. You know, ended up playing in all 13 games on special teams again, but never played a snap at wide receiver. And
What was that
so,
experience like for you mentally and emotionally?
you know, I would say like it was definitely frustrating because, you know, I thought, you know, I feel like I deserve a shot. You know, it's like, just give me, you know, a chance to at least prove myself, right? Like, if I don't, then, you know, that's on me. But, you know, I never really got that shot. But at the same time, it was like, you know, obviously I wasn't in complete control of like my circumstance, but like I could control my attitude and knowing like, okay, regardless of what they're not gonna let me do, I'm gonna do what I can do, right? Or it's like, okay, be a special teams role player who, you know, plays on all four phases of special teams, you know, and like at the end of the year when they tallied up the like cumulative snaps on special teams, like there was only one other player on the team who I think played more special team snaps than me, you know. So that, like, I was proud of that, where it was like, you know, I still found a way to contribute and be on the field as much as possible, even though I wasn't able to do that maybe in the way that I wanted to, right? Playing wide receiver, you know, obviously you want to be out there catching balls, making big plays, scoring touchdowns. All the while, there had kind of been this behind the scenes talk amongst a couple of coaches who were like, you know, he could probably play safety, right? Like, we think he could play defensive back. And ultimately, after that season, you know, amongst the coaches and talking with Kalani and other people, it was like, you know, I think we should make the switch to play safety. And Fessy was good with that, and Coach Hill coming in was good with that, and Coach Fowler, who is our safeties assistant, but I had played with because I was on the scout offense, for both of those years playing wide receiver, and he was the one running the scout offense. So I had a great relationship with him, and he was kind of one of the ones who was pushing that. So it ended up being a great transition for me.
Well,
But
did you have to give much much thought and prayer to that transition, or was it kind of just like, okay, cool?
I think it was actually kind of an answer to prayer, where it was like a, here's a new avenue for you to pursue, and I was like, I'm all about it.
Did it feel right?
Yeah, no, it felt exactly right. Yeah, like I had no reservations. I just was ready to just dive straight in and give it everything I had.
So you make the switch, and then what happens?
So I make the switch. Coach Hill. So I switched to safety right when Coach Hill got here, right? Our new defensive coordinator. So it was actually kind of a blessing, right? Because we're almost all on even ground now, right? So obviously we've got a lot of returning players, but and so that plays a little bit into his mind, right? Obviously he's like, okay, these guys have proved themselves in games. Like, I'm gonna err on giving them, more leeway as far as the depth chart, and assuming that they're the starters and the backups, right? And so I, initially, obviously, I'm a little bit lower on the depth chart, but we all learned a new defense at the same time. And so I think that played to my benefit, right? Being able to just learn it and understand it. And then, that first spring ball, it was so fun. Like, I remember having this moment where I was like, okay, like, playing defense for me is clearly what made football so fun in high school. Like, just being out there, reacting to what you see, just flying around, going, making tackles, having fun. And so, I remember telling myself, like, dude, football's so fun again, like having that feeling. And then come, fall of that year, this is 2023 now, fall 23. We had some injuries, we had some other things go on in the room, and next thing we're at Arkansas, and one of our starters got hurt in the first drive, and so then I played the rest of the game. So I played like 80 snaps at free safety against Arkansas. That was a huge road win for us, like,
It's a great
and
game.
like Yeah, playing that many snaps in that big of a game, I was like, dude, like, this is so awesome. To then have my first, real start, and then first Big 12 home game against Cincinnati, our first Big 12 home game in the conference. I'm starting at free safety, like, just on cloud nine, right? Obviously. We that was another, great game for us, big win. And I didn't even really know this, but at the time, it just, was one of those things that happened during the game. I had torn my bicep completely.
Oh.
So, and like, I'm always one to just kind of fight through injuries. So like, the next week was a bye week. We're practicing. I'm lifting, I'm doing everything.
You're
Like,
still
my arm's hurting.
lifting with a torn bicep.
Yeah. So like, it's hurting bad. Like, the trainers are doing everything to try to rehab it, and like, it's like 10 days after the game now. And they're like, okay, we should probably go get this thing looked at. Like, go get some imaging. So go get it looked at. Come to find out, torn bicep, like, completely tore
Oh,
the
man.
distal bicep tendon. And so I was, and like, the only fix for that is surgery. And it has, they want to do it as fast as possible because the bicep tendon and the, you know, it's one of those things that's constantly under tension, just the way that your anatomy is. So when it tears, right, it like starts to lose its elasticity. So they want to repair it as fast as possible so they can stretch it back to your bone and get it and, you know, get it fixed. So that was frustrating too, because I was, you know, in my head, obviously beforehand, I'm like, dude, I don't care if they tell me that it's wrecked. I'm just going to play. And then the doctor being like, we got to fix this ASAP. So, season-ending injury, 6 month recovery, like tendons, don't tear a tendon because it's the slowest thing ever to heal. And it was frustrating. Like, I felt like I'd overcome, you know, so many hurdles climbing up the mountain. I was like finally at the top, you know,
I'm on the top of
and
the world.
literally, you know, starting for my dream school in a Power Four conference, and then I tear my bicep. I'm like, dude, no way. So long recovery, ended up being able to do a little bit of spring ball in 24, kind of limited, no contact, but got to do as much as I, you know, could. You know, we come around fall camp. I have a really good fall camp, earn the starting job. You know, started all 13 games last season, you know, was a captain, co-led the team in interceptions, and you know, was just selected as a first team academic All-American. And so just a slight dip in that climb, right? That at first I was like, dude, why is this happening? You know, it's kind of that natural reaction you have when it seems like everything's going good, and then instead of asking the like why me question, it's like, okay, what does the Lord need me to learn from this? What does he want me to develop from this? And how is this going to make me a better player, a better, you know, teammate, a better leader, et cetera?
So, how did you keep your attitude high during that time? And also, like, were there days that you just felt, man, this really sucks, and this is really, really hard? And also, how did you make the most out of that time?
Yeah, there were a lot of days where I was like, this really sucks. The rehab for that sucked too. Like, I'd go in early mornings with our rehab guy, and like, have you ever gotten scraping done before? Like, have you heard of like Grass Tech scraping? Yeah. It's like I'm sitting there getting my tendon scraped like 3 times a week, just trying to get some of the nerves and other things to come back, and like that was excruciating. Like, I hated it so much. And then like there's obviously the go-getter in me wanting to, you know, push things forward, but you know, having to follow the doc's orders and like take things within the protocol. And then, you know, once I got, you know, back into the weight room and was able to do some things, I was like, well, I just want to do everything. But it's like, no, you know, you can't do this. You gotta be much more careful with some of these things. I think that's probably what was really frustrating too, is like feeling like I was ready to do certain things, but having to be humble and be smart and okay, I gotta slow it down just a little bit so I don't overdo it.
And I'm curious, aside from, because you know everybody goes through different injuries, like aside from the doctor saying, "Hey, you're ready," how did you know you were ready? Like, even if the doctor wouldn't have said, would have you known that you were ready to go start playing again and start working out again?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, like we all have good, I feel like we have a good gauge at least individually, like for our body, like how it's functioning or certain things. But I think even from like a sports psychology standpoint, and like our trainers talk about this all the time, like they will gauge their willingness to let us compete based on our own willingness. Like if a guy is saying, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready, they're like, okay, yeah, he's not ready. Even if he might be physically, but if mentally he's saying, yeah, I don't think I can go, they'll hold him out. Whereas there might be guys who are, you know, in a situation where it could lean either way, or it's like, you know, we could hold him out or we could let him play. But if mentally he's like, no, I'm playing, they're like, okay. Because I feel like so much of that is just a mindset of saying, of like telling yourself, and trusting your body, right? And saying, okay, I'm ready to go. And I think a lot of athletes who have come back from big injuries like that would say that the biggest hurdle, honestly, is the mental one, is just telling yourself and believing that you're healed, you're better, it's going to work. And once you get over that, you can overcome the physical way more easily.
What helped you the most with that mental hurdle?
I would say just being very consistent with rehab and that recovery process, right? Where it's like I'm putting in some sort of effort, I'm doing something every day that's contributing to the healing of my tendon, right? And the consistency with that, I mean, it's the same thing that applies to what we were talking about earlier, just getting reps, repetition, working hard, right? It builds this mental stability, this mental confidence where you're telling yourself, dude, I've done this a million times, right? Or like I've been doing this for 6 months, right? Like there's no way my arm's not healed, right? With all that I've put in order for it to get better.
Well, and obviously you got better and you had an amazing season last season. And so I'm curious, looking ahead, like what's one dream, whether it's in football, like making it to the NFL or something completely different that you're reaching for now?
This is a personal goal, but it's pretty well aligned with like our team goal. Like we want to win a championship, like we know what we're capable of. We got a taste of it last year, and what's so frustrating is, no one expected us to, and we were right there, so close to being in a great position to, win a Big 12 championship and then, go on to the college football playoff. And so, really, just doing everything possible, making the sacrifices necessary to help us win a Big 12 championship.
What kind of sacrifices does that take? What are
I
you
think,
sacrificing?
yeah, like there's obviously personal desires that you have to set aside in order to better the team, right? Like there might be times when I want to sleep in, or times when I'd rather be doing other things, but it's gonna benefit the team to be watching film with the young defensive backs, right? Or it might be uncomfortable for me to, or in my routine to stretch 20 to 30 minutes a night, in order to improve my hip mobility and injury prevention and all these things, right? But that ultimately will help our team.
You stretch 20 to 30 minutes a night.
I'm not as diligent with it as I should be, but that's
Sorry,
a
I mean to put
goal
you on the
that I
spot.
have
Like that's
set.
just the well, so many people, like especially me, I'm 40 now, and like I like to play sports, and I've had hip
Yeah.
mobility problems, and so it's like it's the rehab is a giant pain, and so I'm astounded. You're like 20 to 30 minutes a night. All right, man. Well, hey, I know you've got to go, but I just want to ask you one question to wrap
Okay.
up. What advice would you give either to a young kid that's really aspires to play college football, and then also what's advice you would give to somebody that just they everybody has these desires burning inside them that they really want to do, but they always tell themselves no. Like what advice would you give to those two groups to just start today what they really want to do?
Yeah, I think to the young kid, like I kind of mentioned this earlier too, like I had my dream, I had my goal. There were other opportunities on, on the table, but it was like I'm gonna bet on myself, right? And so it's like bet on yourself, If you have a dream, if you have aspirations, to accomplish something, then, don't let other people define that for you, right? Like you can control your destiny and really shape what that experience, could look like. And obviously that my experience, it could have gone a number of different ways, right? It could have been one where I could have chosen, okay, I'm going to go to an FCS school play really well and then transfer to BYU, hopefully, right? Or, you know, or a completely different story. But, you know, I would just say bet on yourself, and whatever path you do choose, just be 100% committed to that. Don't be the person who chooses a path and then is second guessing, saying, "Oh, but what if I was there? What if I had chosen to do this?" It's like, okay, that mindset's not going to help you at all where you're at right now. You know, the only thing that's going to improve your situation and help you accomplish what you want to accomplish is you giving your everything where you're at, right? And so, to the, you know, to the older person or adult, you know, who's maybe has other aspirations too, is just, well, I might just quote Co Coach Kalani on this, honestly. And he always says this. He says, "You can overcome any mistakes with outstanding energy and effort." So energy and effort, those two things, you know, you can accomplish whatever you put your mind to, right? As long as you're willing to put in those, you know, those two things, right? And the other thing that I would add to that is, allow your mind, your body, and your heart to be in the same place, right? If you're going to do something, have all three of those things in the same place and you'll get the best result, right? If your body's there, but like your heart is somewhere else and you're thinking about something else, obviously you're not going to get the full benefit of that, right? But if you're there and you're present and you're focused and your heart's there and you're loving what you're doing and you're committed to it, then you're going to get a lot out of it, right? You're going to get the joy, the fulfillment, that feeling of, you know, gratitude for the process of what you're doing. Yeah, that would be my advice.
That's great advice, man. Actually, I was reading a book yesterday and it talked about like replacing fear or, you know, and I'd add anxiety or anything else with just enthusiasm, like you're saying. You know, just throw yourself into anything with enthusiasm and you don't worry about the fear, the anxiety, anything else. Well, hey man, I know that you've got to run, but if you want to share with people just how they can follow you on social media if you'd like to. And then if you have any parting thoughts, you can share those.
Yeah, if anyone would like to follow me on social media, find me on Instagram, Tanner_Wall, but it's WA11. And then on Twitter, my handle is YS Tan Man. So you can find me on either of those. I'd love to interact with any of you. You guys have any more questions or, you know, would like any more advice, I'd be happy to talk with you guys and share that with you.
Well, thanks so much, man. I've really appreciated you being on here, and I've definitely learned so much from this too. So appreciate it, man. Have
Well,
a
thank
good
you so
one.
much, Joseph. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.